Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy.
You are muted.
Health. I am your host, Dawson Church, and I so enjoy sharing with you every week. Every time I do this, I actually spend a few moments before we go live, and I just tune into my heart. I tune into you. I can't see you. I may not know you, but energy is real. Intention produces results, and when we're in that space of connection, of friendship, of acknowledgement, we're part of one huge human family, and that what we do and think and say and believe makes a difference in what the great Jesuit philosopher called the psychosphere. It is powerful to start each moment, each encounter, with that awareness. So I'm sitting here, I'm imagining everyone tuning into High Energy Health today, and I am just in that space of acceptance and appreciation. I also realize sometimes that in meditations, I sit in meditation every morning, and sometimes I just sit there, and it's easy. I just slip right into what Ramana Maharshi and Anandamayi Ma, other mystics called the void. It's really easy just to slip into what Buddha called natural mind. Other times, it's really hard. And I know that for many people in our community, it's difficult as well. It's not easy to go to that space very often. And sometimes, too, I get really disturbed about things going on in the world. I see images in the news. I hear things going on in my community. There's injustice. There is difficulty. There are all kinds of things happening that are just a symptom of humanity, which hasn't quite got the big picture yet. And so those things can disturb me. But I know as I move into that space of acceptance, as I move into that space of self-love, that space of connection, I may not be able to go fix Palestine. Maybe I can't go fix Ukraine, but I certainly can fix myself. And so I spend time in that space. I know that in some sense that there is that great consciousness of all humankind, and we are doing our peace by maintaining inner peace within ourselves and then in our communities and in the world around us. So I encourage you, even when you may feel despairing, when you may feel as though there are too many things going on in the world that are cause for alarm and disturbance, find that still place within that is never disturbed, that gives you life, that gives you space, that is the present moment, and that's what we come to here in High Energy Health. One more thing before I introduce today's guest, I want to remind you to please share this show with others. We're going to be talking about one of the most important things in life today, which is relationships, and relationships have the power to make you, to fill your life with misery or fill your life with joy. And so I want you, if you know people who are struggling, if you know people who really need a perspective on where they are, you're going to find the brilliant wisdom of today's guest well worth sharing with them. Don't let your friends struggle. Be generous. Email a link to the show to people you know who are struggling. You have no idea when some piece of information they get, some piece of wisdom they get, might not make all the difference in their lives. So please don't just enjoy High Energy Health. Share High Energy Health with those to whom it can make a difference. To those who are perhaps wondering and not sure of their direction in life, this show can make all the difference. So thank you for being generous and sharing High Energy Health with others. My guest today is Danae Logan. Her book is called Sovereign Love. And she has a remarkable perspective of the journey of relationships. She is a marriage and family therapist. She's a spiritual teacher. She's also host of the podcast, Cheaper Than Therapy. getting a behind-the-scenes look at coaching sessions with her clients, as well as interviews with thought leaders. Her website is DeneLogan.com. I'll just spell it out to make sure you get there. DeneLogan, DeneLogan.com. Dene, what a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Dawson. You have the most incredible radio voice ever. Have you always done this? Is this been what you've done for a really long time? You can tell your voice was made for it.
Yeah, and I just love sharing, so joy to share. And I was so touched. I did not have as long to spend with your book as I normally do with my guest books, but I saw the structure of the book, and your passion for helping people navigate relationships just shines through your work. So thank you for helping people in this area so full of potential and also so full of challenge.
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that, Dawson. And, you know, I really do. I feel like, as you were speaking to, our relationships impact our lives, I think, more than anything else. How we're feeling in our relationships, the qualities of our relationships is probably one of the most important factors in terms of, like, whether or not we're thriving in our lives. And I work primarily as a couples therapist, and so I think in doing this work, have come to a real sense of some of the things that I've seen clearly are making it challenging for us in ways that I don't believe that it needs to be, you know.
So let's start at the beginning with your journey and why you decided to become a therapist and why you decided to focus on couples therapy. Obviously, it is important, and it does have the ability to make us miserable or happy. I'll just mention one thing about my particular work. I've done spent about 25 years or so, and I've done over 100 clinical trials I've been involved in, mostly around PTSD. And I've worked with rooms full of people who are traumatized, refugees, veterans, others. And I just have a really good set of energetic boundaries. I can just work with people all day long who are deeply traumatized and feel fine afterwards. My wife, not at all. When I'm around her, we have to be really careful because, you know, I have one negative thought and it just bleeds right through into that energy system of the marriage, and vice versa. So you know, I'm so glad you're offering people this advice because you're right. This is the area that can make the difference. And I'm just so curious as to how you came to choose it for your life's work.
Oh my gosh! Well, you're speaking my language already. I love that you're talking about the energy between you and your wife. I love that. So I guess I'll start with, I became a therapist, I think, long story short, because I fell in love with the transformations that I experienced within my own life. I've always been a spiritual seeker. I've always been someone who's really been hungry to understand what motivates our behavior patterns. But I think there was a point in my own journey of doing therapy and some of the healing modalities that I kept diving into. I was a yoga teacher for many years, but I just kind of felt like I want to do more. Like, I would be, you know, working with clients or at the end of a yoga class, and they would be asking me personal questions about their lives, and because so much comes up whenever we're doing somatic work, and I would just feel like, oh, I'm not actually super equipped to answer those questions, but I would love to be. And I was really curious, and so I decided to go back to grad school to become a therapist. But when I was in my practicum, which is the training that you do at the end of grad school, we have a rotation where you start working with couples. And what was so fascinating, Dawson, is that most of my colleagues, my peers, just really hated the couples section. I think most of us are pretty conflict averse, even if we're, you know, being trained in the art of de-escalation around conflict. But for whatever reason, I loved it. I felt like it was fascinating, kind of seeing into what I thought each person's perspective was, and I don't know, it just felt easy for me in a way that I was like, I'll take the couples, give me all the couples if nobody else wants to work with them. And so I just sort of had that become my niche pretty early on as I started working as a therapist, and it kind of built from there. But what you were saying about energy is really interesting because I come from a yogic background and really sort of understood some of these spiritual principles, and I studied depth psychology in school, which is really referred to a lot of times as the psychology of the soul, I had a little bit of a different perspective than some of the other clinical models on couples work, and I sort of would look at the system or the couple as, yes, this unit and, like, what they were playing out in terms of their pain points and their family of origin and all of the things that we're trained to look at and think about, but I also was thinking about each person as an individual soul and what their soul's curriculum was attempting to work out in this relationship dynamic. And what I realized was there's a lot of ways that couples were sort of competing for energy. And what I mean when I say that is there's a way that each person was believing, if I could just get this person to give me something that I believe that I need to be whole, then I can exhale, then I can find fulfillment in this relationship. But both people were sort of struggling to get it from the other, and so around and around we go, and it was sort of like this never-ending circular conflict. But you know, if you think about more of the Eastern traditions that I grew up really with this awareness of and studying, there's just an understanding of our innate wholeness that is always there, right? And that it's never the purpose of our relationships or our connection with another person to give us something that is already innate within us. And so I started to certainly bring that perspective in when I was working with couples and thinking about the conflicts they were having, but also a little bit more about this energy and the energy work and how energy shows up in different dynamics in different ways. And I started to get really fascinated building on some of Jung's work around masculine and feminine energy that exists within all of us, regardless of gender. And I just started playing with it, and it became a little bit of a different formula that I was using in the couples work that I was doing. So that's kind of how it started.
Yeah, and in your book you talk about the masculine and feminine that exists in all of us. In fact, your book's divided into three sections based on that discovery. So go ahead and share that model that you've developed. It's fascinating, and it's really a powerful lens through which to see and perceive and approach your relationships.
Thank you. So as I was mentioning, I come from a background in Jungian psychology, and Carl Jung had this process that he spoke of called the individuation process. And basically what he meant, or what he means when he says that, or what we understand that to mean, is that for the first half of our life, we're sort of oriented towards the external world, and there's sort of a blueprint for our lives. So it's sort of, you know, you grow up in your family of origin, and then you go to school, and then you go to, like, maybe further education, and then you get a job, and maybe married, and then you retire, and that's what it means to live a good life, and it's laid out by the societal template as it is defined by society. But the individuation process, as Jung described it, was around, you know, beginning around age 30, that we start to do a little bit of questioning and differentiate what we have been taught a good life is, or what is true based on what society has told us, and then what is true for me. And it's sort of a long process that continues throughout the rest of our life, but where we're sort of in process with defining ourselves for ourselves and, you know, unpacking our pain points and really thinking about, when I leave this body, what do I want my legacy to be? All of those existential questions that all of us will inevitably at some point start to dabble with in our lives. But what I have found is that for whatever reason, well, I kind of believe that I know the reason, but there's almost been like a quickening of this individuation process, meaning, I think especially over the last 4 years, there's been a way that we've been asking some of these bigger questions around meaning that for centuries we haven't really dug into in deep ways on a collective level. So as a society, we're sort of asking, you know, if all of the things around my 5-year plan and my 401k and all of these things that I've sort of based a sense of security on are taken away, who am I then? What is left in terms of the meaning of my life? And I believe this is what, you know, there were prophecies that spoke of during the Aquarian Age there was going to be a rise in the feminine principle, and that we were going to be a society that was sort of operating from a wounded masculine template for a very long time, and it was going to be a society out of balance. And when I say, you know, wounded masculine template, or even if I talk about patriarchy, I want to be so clear, I'm not talking about men or masculinity, I'm talking about systems of dominance, and that those have sort of been the baseline operating within society, the through line for centuries, and that this energetic is sort of shifting, and we're coming into a little bit more of a balancing with the feminine aspects of all of us, and so that is sort of the soul work and the collaboration and deeper trust in life, our desire to make meaning and play and a little bit more freedom in our lives, and all of these energetics that are the feminine qualities are starting to rise and become something that we are hungry to feel a little bit more connected to on a societal level. So there's, you know, the two frameworks of it. There's the ways that this is happening on a societal level, but there's also the ways that this is happening on an individual level. And a lot of what I get into in the book is how we do this work of understanding the individuation process for ourselves, but then also how that impacts our relationships and how we can negotiate showing up in our relationships with a lot of personal responsibility based on that.
So, first of all, it's recognizing this today in yourself, those masculine and feminine aspects in the self. Then how do you move from that to recognizing them and working with them in your partner and in the relationship?
Yeah, so I think there's so much about what would be the later process of life that is like when we come into the feminine or like the moon of our lives sometimes that is I go inward and I start to really ask myself these bigger questions about who I want to be. And as we do that work for ourselves, we start to become a little bit more of a defined, like what I like to call a capital S self, right? So that's the self that is based on my soul. That is the self based on, like, who I believe I am destined to be and who I came into this life to be. And from that space, we kind of come into the space of inspired action, and that's the healthy masculine energetic within all of us. And so when I'm in that space of moving into healthy masculine energy, it becomes a lot more intentional. And so that's whether it's with the work that I do or how I want to be of service in my community or certainly how I want to show up in my relationship dynamics with a lot more of that personal responsibility piece. And so a lot of what I walk readers through in the book is what it looks like to understand our energy and then how we can take responsibility for our own energy in any given moment. And I sort of give like a little bit of like a Cliff Notes cheat sheet that I give to all the couples that I work with, and you can sort of, I have a quadrant where it's like wounded masculine energy, wounded feminine energy, healthy masculine energy, healthy feminine energy, and you can sort of identify where you are in any given moment in the quadrant, and then you can sort of shift your energy based on where you are to a healthier energetic. And what's fascinating, Dawson, about our energy is that we inevitably create polarity in all of our relationships. Like, I've done this with hundreds of couples, and just, I mean, it's just kind of facts. And so when we understand where we are energetically, like if I'm in wounded masculine energy, in my dynamics, so say you and I are in a relationship and we're interacting and I'm like in this moment, and energy is sort of fluid, it's not fixed. So in this moment, I'm in my wounded masculine energy. Inevitably, you will almost always start to meet me in wounded feminine energy because we'll just inevitably create polarity. But if I take responsibility for doing what I need to do to shift my energy into a healthier feminine energetic, inevitably you will start to meet me in that same healthy polarity. So you will come into a healthier masculine energetic of containment of my feminine energy. And it's really fascinating to watch how many couples I've worked with that they're just like, yep, we've got the quadrant on our refrigerator and we just sort of like check out where we are and we start to shift our energy a little bit. And I'm like, this is amazing. It feels like, you know, like a superpower. We know how to shift our energy now.
Yeah, it's a powerful lens through which to see your interactions. And you've got quite a number of case histories in the book. Go ahead and share a couple of cases of people who have learned that model and then applied it and how it's changed their relationships.
Yeah, you know, I think, oh gosh, there are just so many things about what we're taught relationships are supposed to look like, you know, like what is, quote, a normal relationship. And when we find that that's not the case, we start to have a fear-based reaction. So I think one of the templates that I get into in the book is like a couple who had just moved in together. And it was bringing up a lot of anxious energy, a lot of wounded feminine energy. So that's the same, like when we're in our wounded masculine, that's avoidant energy. And when we're in our wounded feminine, that's anxious energy. And so this is a heterosexual couple. And when they moved in together, she was starting to feel a lot of that societal pressure, like we've moved in together, so now when am I going to have a ring on my finger? And she started to feel that anxious energy. And so she would be, you know, sort of pulling on him, like, energetically, like, when are we going to do this? Like, what's happening? And there was a lot of, like, insecurity, feeling like you don't love me, feeling like I want to pull you back to me, all of that energy that I would call our wounded feminine. And as she was in that wounded feminine, inevitably he's creating the polarity of wounded masculine energy. And like, oh, you're so needy. Everything I do is never enough. We just moved in together and now you want the ring on your finger, whatever, right? And so I would get curious and I would be like, God, if he would just, because I could see in some of the things that he was telling me, a lot of her energy was reminding him of the way he felt with his mother, and that her needs for him when he was younger were so big and so overwhelming, and he didn't feel like he got to be a self when he was around his mother. And so there was a lot of fear coming to the surface. Like, if I commit to this woman, then it's going to feel like it always felt with my mother, where, you know, the needs are never ending, and she's always pulling on me energetically. And so I would think to myself, if he could just share that with her from a really vulnerable space, which is him shifting into healthy feminine, really like in that space of vulnerability and trust that if I tell her the truth, it'll be okay, and that we can maybe collaborate on a solution. That's all healthy feminine energy. And then if he could just share that with her, then she would be in the space of holding space for him and really empathizing and containing those fears and saying, you know, I can understand why it would feel that way. I would probably feel the same thing if I'd grown up the way that you did. And that's her in her healthy masculine, really containing that energy of the fears that are coming to the surface for him. And so as I sort of coached them in this instance on how each person could shift their energy in that way, and it's always like a diagonal on the chart that I have in the book, I noticed all of a sudden they started to shift in their dynamic. And the more that he would open up with her about what he was feeling from a vulnerable space, the less anxious she would feel. And she would sort of settle into like, okay, I can understand why it feels that way for him. And she could hold space not only for him, but also for herself in a little bit more of a healthy masculine containment. So that's just one of the couples that I get into that I feel like were one of my favorite success stories in terms of how it really shifted their dynamic.
Yeah, and understanding the possibilities there and those four quadrants allows you to then make some choices. So you might recognize when you're getting sucked into one automatically, or you have reflexive behavior that is putting you in that particular quadrant, and then you can take corrective action. And I know that, yeah, for me in my marriage, it's been true as well. I recognize when I'm in certain spaces and they're not healthy, I'll just go, you know, take a walk and move, shift, and then come back and talk to my wife after I've done the inner work first. Inner work first. Yeah.
I love it. How long have you guys been married, can I ask?
15 years.
15?
15 years, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had to work out the space that comes up for all of us a little bit in the beginning of like, oh, this is like, I need a strategy for how to tend to what's coming up for me and take care of myself a little bit.
Yeah, and you do, of course, you know, when you're doing this in your 70s, then you are, it's a very different approach when you're doing it in your 20s when you didn't have all of those tools. And one of the great things about wisdom and a book like yours is that you can early on learn those tools. I wish I had known what I know now back then in those early relationships, and I didn't. I looked back and realized I understood so little. And that's why I want to really encourage those of you who are listening to, as you are in relationships, especially if you are in your 20s or 30s or 40s, go ahead and get education. Figure out how all of this works, because you might think that your relationships are a certain way, and that's inevitable, and yet you'll find there are many, many different ways of managing relationships, having relationships, seeing relationships, and of shifting your own perspective and patterns in relationships. So a book like Danae's is full of wisdom. You don't have to spend 20, 30, 40, 50 years stumbling around miserably figuring it out. Just go and grab some of her wisdom, and then you'll have this lens which to apply it. You won't do it perfectly the first time, I can promise you. You'll probably make the same old mistakes and get in the same old patterns for a while, but there is the possibility of change. We're going to go to a break right now, but please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. For more on Danae's work, go to her website, Danae Logan, and her excellent book on relationships is called Sovereign Love. We'll be right back after a break.
Hey Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health.
You are muted.
My name is Dawson Church. I am your high energy host. I love sharing with you. I love being here. I'm so grateful that we have all these tools now that help us live dramatically better lives. I know I was talking to a friend of mine a few months ago, and he was reflecting and saying, Dawson, you know, right now I meditate every day. I am involved in various conscious growth transformational courses. I'm doing EFT tapping. I'm releasing my stress. He said, then I'm going to spend time with my parents. What do? None of the above. They just suffer, and they've been suffering their whole lives, and they're still suffering. He said, now we have all these tools today. We have these tools from neuroscience. We have these tools from psychology, all these advanced practices. We have advanced ancient spiritualities accessible to us. So please do use these tools. Apply them in your life. They can make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. For more on Danae's work, go to her website, Danae Logan, and her new book is called Sovereign Love. It's an excellent guide to helping you conceptualize where you are in relationships and adjust not just your external behaviors and practices, but as we mentioned at the very beginning, energy. So today, talk more about this energetic component of your work and what you're referring to when you talk about the energy of these models of masculine, feminine, and other archetypes.
Yeah, I love, you know, even as I was listening to you do the intro, I'm like, oh, he knows about it. I'm like, he knows. So it's really beautiful to get to have this conversation with you. And I think, to me, what is really exciting about the time that we are living in is I believe we're coming into a deeper awareness of the subtleties of our lives and the energetics that are underneath all of the things that we are experiencing from our five senses. So beyond what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, we're starting to get into the subtleties of life, which to me is our intuition and the synchronicities, sometimes like the telepathic knowing that we have, but a lot of times it's the energy between two people and maybe several people, and that we feel one another because we are all connected. And so a lot of times when I talk about energy, I'll ask a group, like, what does that mean to you? Because, you know, I live in Southern California, but I feel like there are places in the country where everybody doesn't just talk about energy all the time, the way that me maybe do. But we all sort of know what we're talking about without being able to maybe specifically name what that is, because it can be sort of difficult to articulate, like, what is the energetic frequency that we're feeling between one another. And so I'll give an example of, like, I think a few months ago I was walking on one of those moving walkways in an airport, and I could just feel someone's energy behind me, like a really aggressive, like upset energy. And I turned around, and there was a man who was clearly late for his flight, very upset, very, like, you know, agitated. And I was like, God, he wasn't even standing close to me. Like, how did I feel his energy? But I could feel him, right? And it's in the same way that sometimes we'll say, I don't know what it was about that person, but the hairs on the back of my neck just stood up when they walked in the room. Or, you know, Dad came home after a difficult day or whatever, and it completely shifted the energy in the whole household. These are things that we've always talked about, but I don't think we've put a lot of emphasis on in terms of how that impacts our relationships. And, you know, you were giving a beautiful example with your wife at the beginning of our conversation, where it's like, I can be doing all of these things with everyone in the world, and, you know, I can feel like when I leave my work, I wash my hands of it, and I'm done for the day, and I'm good. But then when it comes to our most intimate relationships, it becomes a little bit more difficult for all of us to just sort of be neutral, right? And I very much relate to what you were saying, because I was, again, a yoga teacher and a massage therapist, and I did all of these energetic healing modalities early in my work. And I was always, you know, I'm really introverted, so I was always really sort of like had a lot of energetic boundaries and was really sort of protective of, like, what's mine is mine, what is this client's is theirs, and keeping that real differentiation. But in my romantic partnerships or my relationships, that was harder. And I would notice that I would be like, well, let's just say, like, the shadow aspects of who I am, like the least desirable parts of my personality would really come to the surface in my romantic dynamics. And I kind of thought that was fascinating, like, why we are often, like, the least generous in our behavior patterns with the person we love the most, or we save those elements of ourselves for our partners. And then I had a child, and what I found so fascinating, Dawson, was that when he was in preschool, I would drop him off for the day, and they would tell me about him at the end of the day, and they'd be like, oh, he is just such a little angel. He was just so cooperative and sharing and, like, the best kiddo ever. And I'd be like, oh, gosh, amazing, you know, and I'd take him home, and it would be like, what happened? And, like, kicking me, and all of this, like, angsty energy, and I'd be like, what happened to the little angel they were just talking about? That's not what I'm experiencing. And what I realized as I started to do some, like, digging around, like, psychology of young children is that they hold in all of their, you know, challenging energy a lot of times when they're out in the world until they feel safe at home with mama again. And then it's like, you can tolerate this. I know you're a safe container, so you take it. Ah, like, all of the messy energy goes straight to mama. But what I realized is we're doing that same thing in our romantic relationships. We're sort of out in the world with our highlight reel and, like, the most, you know, glossy version of ourselves. And then we come home to our romantic partnerships, and it's like we let all of that tension and stress and all of those challenging aspects of maybe who we are and maybe not the parts of ourselves that we're most proud of, that's what we sort of save for our romantic partners. But the challenging thing about that, which is a little bit different than my 7-year-old, is, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm his mama. I love him unconditionally forever. But in our romantic partnerships, that may or may not be the case a lot of times. And one, our romantic partner doesn't have to stay in this dynamic, and I think we're seeing the dissolution of relationships a lot more than we ever have, but also that people are just choosing not to partner at tremendous numbers in terms of, like, the younger generation. It's like, why would I get married? I've seen the lack of fulfillment that my parents had. Like, why would I make that choice? But also, I think it doesn't feel good. And most of the time, we are not proud of being that version of ourselves. And I think most of us would like to feel good in our relationship dynamics and have a little bit more of that fulfillment. And I think, to me, what I started to notice was the problem is very similar to my child, if I am holding space for the most negative aspects of yourself, that can create a pretty secure attachment, which is what we have been really conditioned to believe is what we should prioritize in our romantic partnerships. But it doesn't leave a lot of room for the eros and the aliveness and the romance, right? It's sort of like we can have the secure attachment and believe you're not going anywhere, but I'm not super attracted to you. And what I noticed was, like, the most significant and common thing that couples were coming in to see me about is we're just like roommates. There's no life here. There's a real deadening that's occurred in our dynamic between one another. Or there's been a rupture because of that lack of life force, like some sort of infidelity or something like that. And we're coming into couples therapy in an attempt to repair it. So I started to notice, you know, we've put such an emphasis on the attachment, the structure, the, like, creating safety, which is the masculine energy, but not a lot of emphasis on the aliveness and the eros and the life force and the sensuality, which is the feminine energy. And so this, to me, was like another place where we really have not been conditioned to hold a lot of prioritizing of the feminine in our relationship dynamics, you know?
Okay, we're going to go to a break right now, but today I'm going to ask you a difficult question, a real thing when we get back from the break, and it's something that I've had a lot of fun talking to some relationship therapists about. Some of the, I'm not going to tell you what it is during the break either,
okay.
But just bringing it on you afterwards, and I'm really curious what your take is on this really, really controversial way of looking at relationships. So we're going to a break right now. My name is Dawson Church. Please go to today's website, Danae Logan, and also her new book, excellent book, highly recommended, is Sovereign Love. We'll be right back with more High Energy Health after a break.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back to High
You Are Muted
Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church. I am so delighted you're here and so glad you're filling your mind with positive messages, positive media. There is this very profound two-word sentence, which is pay attention. And I'm so aware that where we direct our attention is where we're spending our currency of attention. What do you pay attention to? And when you choose a show like High Energy Health, you're saying, I'm going to pay attention to what counts, to what can enrich my life, to what can make a difference in the way I go through life. I'm picking up tools, I'm getting ideas, inspiration, practical tips on how to make my life better. So you are paying the currency of your attention in the right direction. You're buying something with your focus here today that is really able to make a difference in your life, in which much of the random media around you is not. I am so glad you're listening to High Energy Health. Please bookmark the site. Come back here again and again and again. Make it a regular part of your life. Send links to people you know. Post it on your social media. You know people who are suffering in their relationships. Just send them a link and say, here's something that can make a difference to you. So please be generous. Share the wealth on this show. Let other people have the chance to be exposed to these wonderful transformational ideas. Thanks so much. It's wonderful to connect with you this way and make it part of your life. For more on Danae's work, go to her website, DanaeLogan.com, and her book is called Sovereign Love. So, Danae, before the break, I promised to spring a really difficult question on you. And I've had fairly heated conversations with two therapist friends of mine about this. And the two friends, too, I'm going to drop some names here, Gay Hendricks, author of Conscious Love, Gay and Kathleen, and also John Gray, who wrote the best-selling nonfiction book of the 90s, Men from Mars, Women from Venus. And so the question is,
yes,
when you have a conflict in a relationship, you're in a relationship, you're having a conflict, do you then work that conflict out in the relationship, or do the two of you go outside the relationship to find resolution outside the relationship? Do you work out your conflicts within the relationship, or do you go outside, like to a therapist or to a coach or some other source outside the relationship to work things out?
Well, first of all, I love that I am in this company with this question. I'm like honored. How beautiful. And, you know, here's what's interesting to me, Dawson. I think there is a way that what is evolving in our relationship dynamics is that it is our relationships up to this point have been there's sort of an external authority telling us this is the correct way to do relationships. And I believe what is shifting is that, you know, as we come into a little bit more of a feminine integrated way of being, that this is a co-creation between the two of us, meaning I think that in some relationship dynamics, it's like what happens in this dynamic stays in our dynamic. Don't talk to your girlfriend. Don't talk to your therapist. Like, keep it in here. Don't air our dirty laundry type of thing. And that might be true for some people in their relationship dynamics. It might be what, you know, really allows them to thrive. For me, in my relationship dynamic, that wouldn't necessarily work. I'm someone who needs a little bit more than one person to be my entire world. I will say that I think there's been a way that, well, two things. I think there's been a way that we've been looking for one person to be way too many things. Sort of our partner is meant to be, you know, my best friend, my confidant, my travel buddy, my therapist, my all of the things that an entire community of people used to offer us. We are looking for this one sacred other person to be and do all of those things for us. And what I have found is one person just does not have the capacity to do that for us. I think that is why inevitably that becomes unsustainable and people start to look for other things outside of the relationship, sometimes in some maladaptive ways, some ways that can be harmful, right? But even more than that, I think that there's a way that we're just shifting into this understanding of, like, how can I understand that other people will give me the opportunity to see this from a different lens than maybe I have, meaning I think I'm so much better in relationships because I have a therapist, and sometimes I do process things with my therapist before I will take them to a partner because I have blind spots like everybody else, and I can sort of like dig my heels in and know that I'm right, and my therapist will be like, well, have you thought about it this way? And I'm like, ooh, you're right. I hadn't thought of that, you know? So I think, to me, it's like a both and, or like multiple things can be true, that I think sometimes there can be too many cooks in the kitchen, and we don't want everybody's two cents on, well, on our relationship dynamics. And then I think also what can be challenging is if I'm talking to my girlfriends all the time and I'm never actually talking to my partner about what I feel frustrated about, my girlfriends become the relief valve, so I don't actually have to talk to my partner and have that open line of communication. And when my partner and I do the reparative work, and I've been really mad at him about something, and I've gone and vented to my girlfriends, I go back home, and then he and I do the reparative work, and then she's still sort of left with a bitter taste in her mouth for my partner. And that can create issues as well. So I think there's multiple things that can be true, but I do think what's important about sharing outside of your relationship is you always want to be respectful of how you would want your partner to talk to you if the roles were reversed, right? So I will never say anything about my partner that I wouldn't say if he were in the room with me, right? Like, I think that's one of those important, for me, values that I hold in terms of, like, how I want to hold my partnership with reverence in the dynamic. But I do think it can be helpful sometimes to get two cents from someone else. But now I feel really curious what they said. I'm like, but what did they say?
Well, it came up because when we were both members of a certain group of best-selling authors, and so when we'd meet and talk, we would talk about that question. And like Gay and Kaplan have in their book, Conscious Relationship, they talk about telling each other the microscopic truth. They would spend hours sometimes in conversation working things out over the course of many, many, many years. And John would as well. John Gray felt as though you should work things out in the relationship's a crucible. It's raising out all this early childhood stuff. You work it out in a relationship. My wife and I did the opposite. We would be together, and our primary orientation is play. We just play together, and so when we got some bad stuff to deal with that's arisen within us, you know, for me, it's personally, it's usually about me. It's my stuff that's triggered by her, but it's my stuff. I go take care of it with somebody else, and when I'm feeling clear and clean and light, I then come back into the relationship. I may need to then talk to her about something, set a boundary. I may need to, you know, deal with an issue, but if I'm carrying the energy of disappointment, resentment, anger, outrage, whatever, into the discussion, if I'm energetically dysregulated, then I really, it's much less likely to go well than if I'm not. So I go fix myself outside of the relationship first, then come back in. So I know I'm flying in the face of you know, two of the most biggest relationship authorities on the planet, but there it is. And that's what we chose to do. Is we've chosen to come together to dance, play, and have fun together, and then we go outside if we have stuff to deal with. I'm going to leave everyone with that thought as we go to the next break. What do you do personally? Which solution do you think is right? And then think about what Danae said, too. Just reflect on that point she made. Mm-hmm. I would not say anything to somebody outside. I would not say to my relationship partner directly. That is an incredibly useful criterion. Maybe make a note of that in your journal. Are you saying things outside with other people that you are not saying to your partner? And then start to look at the gap between those two things. Again, more about Danae's work at her website, DanaeLogan.com, and also her book is Sovereign Love. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity, naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com. StressDump.com.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm so glad you are here for you. You're taking care of you. You're paying attention to what really counts in your life. And I'm just so grateful you're doing that. I congratulate you for putting first things first, your own well-being, your own happiness, your own self-growth, your own self-transcendence. Thank you for being here. And for more on Danae Logan's work, go to her website, DanaeLogan.com, or get a copy of her book, Sovereign Love, which you'll find extremely useful in navigating all these big questions about where you are in relationships and how to shift them. So, Danae, let's just wrap up our time together with a fundamental question about where people start. Maybe they not only have an unsatisfactory relationship now, maybe they've had a string of them. What do you recommend to people when they step into your either virtual office or real office, physical office? Where do you start?
I love that question, Austin. You know, I think something that comes up a lot when someone has come out of a relationship, and a lot of times people will say to me, you know, I feel like I really lost myself in that relationship dynamic, and I don't even know who I am anymore, but I'm feeling lonely, and I'm feeling like I want to get back in another relationship, and whatever questions are coming up around that. And I will always say, like, I think it's a really beautiful time to, one, figure out why. Like, why do I want a relationship now? What do I think a relationship would add to my life that isn't there already? I think it's a beautiful thing to be in partnership, but I think a lot of times we haven't really been taught to be really intentional about what is the purpose of this dynamic between me and another person. Like, why do we want to come together and share our lives with someone? And then, two, it's this thing of, you know, what the Stoic philosophers used to talk about that I don't think we speak to as much anymore, of, like, the purpose of our life really being about knowing myself well, right? And I think I always was fascinated by that Socrates quote of know thyself, and that there's this thing that we've sort of gotten away from really being in that introspective place. Like, therapy has been something we've been conditioned to think of as, like, when something's wrong. But I think when it comes to exploring our story and knowing ourselves well, it's not really anything that anyone needs so much as it's something that all of us deserve, and really what I believe we came into this life to do. So I think when I know myself well, I bring a little bit more of a individuated self, as we were talking about, into that relationship dynamic. And so I'm not really looking for someone to complete me or to be the source of my happiness. I sort of know how to fill up my own cup, and then I can pour into the relationship dynamic from the overflow. And, you know, as you were speaking to so beautifully before the last break, my relationship can be this place where I go to, like, really find enjoyment, and we can share in the Raja and the life force and all of the beautiful things of life together, versus feeling like I need something to pull from that relationship energetically to complete me, because I'm not incomplete, you know.
Yeah, let's wrap up with one more story, one more case history of people who apply this to their relationships and how it shifted them.
You know, I think it's funny. One of the stories in the book that I feel like so many people have had a really strong response to is about a woman who was having an affair and really realized that there were a lot of ways that her energy was, like, really out of balance, that she'd been operating in a wounded masculine armor in most of her relationship dynamics. And then she had an affair with someone where, in that energetic dynamic, she was sort of the more wounded feminine energetic. And what I love about her story so much is that really get into in the book a lot of what was happening for her in each of those dynamics and what was being evoked and what she started to feel like she was getting from this other person. And ultimately, I think all of our relationship dynamics are just like these beautiful mirrors that are showing us to ourselves. And where she landed, and what I love so much about ultimately what I think is the point of the book, is you are actually the love of your life. Everyone that you come into contact with and that you collide with in this lifetime are a part of your soul's curriculum, and we're meant to learn from one another, to play together, to enjoy the time that we have together, but that the love affair is always going to be with you. So I feel like she's that story in the book that I love so much, because there was so much seeking that love externally, and I think ultimately where she landed is, if I am love, there is no reason for me to need love outside of myself to be complete. And I think that's sort of the work that all of us are really attempting to do in this lifetime, is to come to that understanding again and again, you know.
Yeah, so that's a powerful frame for your relationship journey, that you are the love of your life. Go ahead and write that in your journal and think about that, reflect on that, and then find ways in which you have been looking for love and projecting love out there rather than finding that source of love within. I can tell you, when you find the source of love within, if you read the works of the great mystics, it just fills you up. It burns inside of you. It is more powerful, more transformative than anything you can possibly imagine, or certainly anything you can find in the outside world. Today, what a joy to connect with you. Thank you. I so appreciate your work and your brilliant book.
Oh, my gosh. So deeply honored. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an incredible pleasure to meet you, Dawson. Thank you.
I feel like I could talk to you for 10 hours straight. So.
Oh, I love it. Someday.
Everybody had an hour, and you're listening to High Energy Health. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving yourself enough to make this your priority. I will see you on the next episode. Until then, be healthy, be happy, fill your life with love.